And now as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, we're going to look today at the closing section of John chapter 13. The previous study, we examined the first 17 verses. Now we'll start our reading today at verse 18. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow, till thou hast denied me thrice. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge in thy holy presence, as we approach thee in the name of thy beloved Son, that the verses we have been reading are solemn and they're searching. But we do pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt impress them indelibly upon all our hearts, that we may be able not only to hear them read, but may we be able to apply them in a practical way and learn the lesson. Remember every listener now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now those of you who listen daily to our broadcast will recall that in our last study, we were looking at the blessed example that Christ gave to his own that night in the upper room when he took the servant's place, humbling himself to wash their feet. Then he left them with a message telling them that what they had seen him do, they also were to do. And then he reminded them that in so doing, he said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You see, happiness in the Christian life does not depend on how much we know. It depends on how much we practice. It's not the amount of doctrine that we hold that counts. It's the doctrine that we can translate into practice. Now, here in the closing section of this chapter, I suggest to you that there are two sides to a coin. First of all, we're going to look at what we might call the exposure of Judas the betrayer. And then over against that, we'll examine the expression of true discipleship. Now we must face this great issue that after all, Judas not only was a professed disciple of the Lord, he was also chosen to be numbered with the 12, so he was an acknowledged apostle. Yet, lying in the shadows behind this man, there was that awful skeleton in the cupboard. Judas would be the betrayer. I remind you again that the Lord knew all things. Verse 1 said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. He also tells them in this chapter that one would betray him, one of themselves. He knew exactly who it was. He also told them that one of them was not clean. Now we should keep this clearly in our thinking. The Lord Jesus Christ was not taken by any surprise. Yet, there is something sinister about all this, something searching, and something sad. Judas, the betrayer. A man who was raised in a very favored environment, a man who was a member of a special nation, the nation of Israel. One who had his place in a very special tribe in that nation, it's obvious he was of the tribe of Judah. Not only so, he was one who was given a very special place. At that time, he was counted in with the 12. That is, he was brought very near to the Lord. And also, out from amongst the 12, he was chosen to be the treasurer of that little band. He was the man who carried the bag. It has been well said by another that Judas got so near to heaven, he was able to kiss the very door. For you remember in John chapter 10, the Lord said, I am the door. Judas would go up in the garden and kiss the Lord. Near enough to kiss the door of heaven, and yet to drop into hell. Oh, what a tragedy, for a man to be so near, and yet so far, almost saved, altogether lost. Here is the exposure of Judas the betrayer. Not only do you have the deception of Judas, for Judas was a hypocritical pretender, and while outwardly he appeared to be one of the faithful band of apostles, nevertheless he was in collusion with the enemies of Christ and was ready to betray his Lord for a few paltry pieces of silver. You know, our minds are thrown back to the Old Testament when we read this story. And how often have we been stung at the heart when we think of how those brothers of Joseph treated Joseph, how they hated him without a cause. One day, 10 of them who were there, for Benjamin was absent, but the other 10 decided to sell their brother Joseph, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The 10 of them would get 2 paltry pieces of silver each, and they would get a bad conscience for the rest of their life, a troubled conscience, a guilty conscience, prepared to betray their own brother and sell him down as a slave into Egypt. just for two little silver pieces. That's all they got each. No, it stings your heart when you think of men doing such a thing to their own brother. Ah, but my friend, it seems to pale into insignificance when we come here and we see a man like Judas, who moved around with the apostles, yet all the time was deceiving these people that were journeying with him. Judas was an absolute hypocrite. He was a pretender. He was one who carried the outward appearance, but at heart he was not with them. In heart he was far from them. He had entered into a covenant with the enemies of Christ. He was ready to betray his Lord. May I suggest again, it was all because of the love of money. The love of money is a root out of which there can spring every kind of evil. Judas was prepared, because of the love of money, to enter into an agreement with sinful partners. And then ultimately, Satan entered into him and took control. Oh, the deception of Judas. Then you have the defection of Judas. He was prepared to turn not only from the other members of the apostolic band, he was prepared to turn his back upon his Lord. You know, it was a sad, sad night for Judas when he first of all entered into agreement with the enemies of Christ. But oh, how sad and dark was that night when he went out. Verse 30 says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Have you ever thought of it, my friend? The Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the light of the world. Here was a man sitting under that blaze of divine glory, sitting in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet his heart was as dark as night. And he rose from that great meeting in that upper room, went out of the door that night, and the Word of God says, it was night. It was dark. May I suggest to all my listeners today that any time that a man or a woman turns their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and turns their feet into the path that will lead them into company with the enemies of Christ. Any time a person turns away from the Lord Jesus, turns into the path of sin, they're going into darkness. It's a dark day. It's a dark night. It'll be a dark life and an awful black eternity for people who turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the departure of Judas. It was a sad moment in the history of Judas when he left the presence of the Lord and went out into the darkness of the night. May I suggest this has been repeated over and over again in the lives of men and women. Many a man, many a woman has sat under the preaching of the Word of God. They've had the preacher faithfully present the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They've listened to the preacher tell of the death of the cross and the glorious resurrection and the need for men and women to be right with God. Yet, they've risen from their seat. They've gone out the door of the church or chapel building and they've said, I'll never again go back to that place. I don't want to hear any more of that kind of preaching. And sure enough, they've gone out, and it's been the last time. They've never again heard the message, and they've been swept into a black and dark eternity. Oh, my friend, did you listen to me today? Take the lesson from Judas. In this passage, then, not only are we given a presentation of the deception of Judas, the hypocrite, the pretender. Not only do we see the defection of Judas as he turned away from the Savior and from the other apostles, but we're given the sad picture of the departure of Judas that night when he went out and it was dark. And Judas not only went into the darkness of that night, before another day had come, Judas was ready to go out and send himself into a dark eternity by destroying his own life. Oh, the exposure of Judas, the betrayer, the unclean man who didn't love the Lord one little bit. But that would be a very dark picture on which to finish chapter 13. I want you to notice there's the other side here. There is the expression of true discipleship. Because after all, wherever you have the counterfeit, you must have the genuine. I like to come to these verses that deal now with the genuine. For after he had gone out, verse 31 says, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now when he comes to verse 33, he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Notice how endearing the term, as he looks upon his disciples. He's not speaking to them here as little babes, newly born ones, but he uses this term of endearment. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. But then, before he leaves them, he said, I want to give you a commandment, a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you. And it's this, that ye love one another. Then he says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, love as a new directive, that ye love one another. Of course, I suggest that most of us today are aware of the fact that even if these men only understood part of the Old Testament, they would at least understand this, that God in the law commanded them to love. Whether not to love the Lord their God with all their heart, and whether not to love their neighbor as themselves. So even the law taught men they were to love. They were to have love for God and love for their neighbor. And what does the Lord mean then by saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Notice the standard. Love in a new dimension. As I have loved you. How did he love them? It said in verse 1, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That is, the degree of his love was right to the very uttermost. Now he's saying in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is to be the dimension of that love, as I have loved you. Now then, he loved them to the very uttermost, as I said in a previous study. Knowing the very worst about them, he loved them just the same. He knew that Peter would deny him before the morning dawned, before the cock crew. Peter would deny him. He knew that Thomas would question his resurrection. He knew that the others would all run away and forsake him and flee. John, I think, was the only one that was found at the cross. Yet, in spite of knowing all this, the Lord Jesus said, as I have loved you, that will be the dimension, that will be the standard by which you will love one another. Oh, my friend, look, what an expression of true discipleship. There was no love in the heart of Judas for his master, but there certainly was love of money. And because he loved the money, he betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. But now, if we have love, here's the other side, here's the true side, here is the genuine side of discipleship. It's the expression of that genuine or true discipleship. Now, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this shall all men know love as a distinctive mark. No, my friend, it's not the name that we take that convinces anyone. I don't care what you stick on your board. I don't care what you call yourselves. You can claim all kinds of fantastic names. Some folk are quite prepared to just to accept the name Christian. Others are not prepared just to have such a simple name as Christian. They want to add all sorts of things to it. And they want to have long drawn out distinctive names for themselves. My friend, you can do all that and never convince anyone that you are his disciple. But here is a distinctive mark by which all men will know that we are his disciples. He says, I have given you a new commandment. That commandment is that you love one another, and here's the dimension of it, as I have loved you. That's how you have to love one another. But now, if you do that, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, ye are my followers. And because you're my followers and carry out this great commission, and if you show this love one to another as I have loved you, if you do that, all men will know that ye are my disciples. Love, then, is the distinctive mark of true discipleship. You see how in this passage we have then the contrast. The contrast between the exposure of that which was not genuine, as portrayed in Judas. Then you have the expression of the true discipleship, where they were to love one another. But Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered them, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now what the Lord had asked him to do was this, just to show love one to another. Peter said, I'm willing to die for you, Lord. For the Lord had asked is this, will you be willing to live for me? Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You see how Peter rushes to extremes. Regards the feet washing, you remember, he said, you'll never wash my feet. Then when he understood that it was necessary, he says, you'll wash me all over, which was unnecessary. Now he's saying, Lord, you say you're going away to leave us, you're not going to leave me. I'm prepared to go with you all the way, and I'll die with you if it's necessary. According to secular history, there came the time when Peter did die for his Lord, and if we accept that account of secular history, then there came the time when Peter did follow him into death, but at this time, what the Lord was asking is that he would live for him and express in his life that love that he professed to have for the Lord. He would express that same love to other Christians. And so here we bring it right down to ourselves today. Do we carry this badge of true discipleship? This is not something that you wear in the lapel. This is not something to show what party you belong to. This is something, my friend, that is on the heart. Something that is expressed from the heart. Not something that you wear as a badge on a t-shirt. So many people have things on their back today. And so many people have things on their breast today. Telling you what they are and who they are. And they wear them in their lapel. No, my friend, this great badge of distinctive true discipleship is something that's on the heart, and from the heart it is expressed. Love as a new directive that you love one another. Love with a new dimension as I have loved you. Love as a distinctive mark. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.